This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum
and
Tanya
Lee. Welcome to IA Forward. And Shane, I hear you have a new theme song for the day.
Roof is on fire. I don't know why it hit me today, but it is one of those days where that song is stuck in my head. That's what it feels. And look, I'm the optimistic, everybody calm down. It's going to be okay. But this craziness continues. The saga of the last 18 months seems to be perpetual at this point.
It sounds like this is one of those days that I'm glad that I work in the Pensacola office and not in the Huntington, Texas office.
Probably a good thing. Probably definitely a good thing.
I will say, as insurance agents, the roof is on fire is probably not the greatest thing that we hear in our agencies.
No, it's not. And honestly, fire is not the thing that we are the most worried about today. With capacity, obviously, our roof is the thing. Our roofs, the roofs, rooftops, these are the concerns in our industry, on the property side, followed very closely by litigation. But it's definitely this constant broken record theme. I have personal conversations with friends. I have colleague conversations. I have C-level, insurance company level conversations. They seem to always come back to the roof and the rooftop and the exposures and the capacity limitations that we're feeling. And it's this overarching theme that I had some hope that we would move away from coming out of the first quarter of 2024. We've got this reality that we're still here and we're still trying to find profitability through rate increase. And we're still not listening to Shane and Tanya that we need to get out of the replacement cost roof business. But I digress.
If you're digressing on that, let's dive forward. Is that a word?
Sure. We can make crap up now. That's just the way it works.
So let's dive forward into what's going on with State Farm.
Oh, yeah. Now that's the clickbait moment. That's the thing that caught the media attention, the State Farm general downgrade. And I'm obviously on the other side of the field as a competitor because I'm an independent agency guy and State Farm is a all-in captive agency model. And so let's just all know that when I say this, but I'm going to defend State Farm a little bit here because this is the problem with our media. This is the problem with society. And this is the problem with what happens when something like this comes out. We are blowing this up across social media as if State Farm, the State Farm or State Farm Mutual or the group of State Farm companies has had a downgrade from an A to a B, which would be significantly disastrous.
I was thinking catastrophic.
Catastrophic is a better word. Thank you. Economic issues that come from that, because State Farm is certainly the largest writer of personal insurance in the country. And in the wake of the 2008 economic crisis, from the insurance industry standpoint, State Farm's one of those too big to fail kind of concepts. When we see something like this, we need to take a little closer look before we freak out, or maybe we're trying to capitalize on it. And I don't love that strategy, but I understand that gets employed out there. You better jump over to me. But this is around a specific operating unit, a company, one of their writing companies. This is mostly California. This is mostly a situation tied to California. This is also, I would say, just reading between the lines, unofficial from my opinion. This is part of the lobbying regulatory wars that are going on between State Farm, Allstate, Farmers in the state of California as some of the biggest writers of personal lines insurance against the out of control DOI there. And it's just another move on the chessboard that they've taken it to this. They didn't have to let their balance sheet weakness within this particular company get there. They could have simply moved some money around. They could have simply shored it up. That would not have had the same political or regulatory effect that it does now that they've allowed this to happen. Everybody take a deep breath. And again, the roof is not on fire. The sky is not falling. And the reality of it is that the media, even in our trade journals, aren't really that different than our major news outlets in that they're trying to sell advertising. And so anything they can do to get more eyeballs, they're going to do.
I have seen more than 10 independent agents, not in our group. I do want to clarify that because I have not seen any of our partners doing this. But using this on social media as this is why you need an independent agent. This is what's happening. Are you going to lose your insurance? Is your insurance bad? Blah, blah, blah. This cheapens our channel.
Our industry is subject to the same thing that other industries are subject to, and that is people trying to sell magazines and article and newspapers and so forth. It's an opportunistic moment that we have to be careful of. We have to be careful of name calling. We have to be careful of saying something that could be really misconstrued, get you in trouble even. It's one of those strategies. Number one, I don't love it. It would be against our core values to go down this path. There's other ways to say this is why you need an independent agency and construe the same message in a different way. I'm sure you have some ideas as a marketer to help me with that, but to just jump out and then really you're misleading the public because you're actually saying something, depending on where you are, depending on where you're located. But if you're an independent agency in Texas like we are, then you're misleading the public with that statement of State Farm's going down the drain. That's not true. One of our core values is honesty wins. That's going to be a struggle for us to say something that's not true, knowingly. It doesn't fit us to go down that path, but it certainly is one of those struggles that we find within the independent agency system of there are plenty of people on either end of the spectrum here in every channel, in every industry that tend to cause problems for the ones that are doing an upstanding job.
To the agents that are using this in that way, you are truly a physical manifestation of the State Farm commercial with the guy in his fishing jacket with his fishing pole saying, I saved you a dollar. To me, that is what these posts represent.
What I do love, if you're sitting there going, Shane, what are you trying to tell me to do? Isn't this a good thing? I'll tell you what I love even better. I had the unfortunate privilege of having to witness the Oklahoma Sooners softball teams play against my Kansas Jayhawks. We did well, except for one game. We were competitive, except for one game. One game, it just came off the rails. Oklahoma is just not realistic in terms of everyone else in the country right now. Okay.
They're unreal to watch. Absolutely. It was just crazy. They were big. They were strong. They were fast.
Just understand that my relationship is very embedded on many levels with the University of Kansas softball program, from NIL partnership to I have a daughter that's a Jayhawk. I'm all in. We're good. Softball is good. We have some incredible talent. We took a little dip into the top 25. We took a little dip out of it. We will be back in the top 25 very shortly, in my opinion. We're a top 25 growing, developing program. It's incredible to watch and see what's happened over the last couple of years. To watch multiple hitters, there's two girls in their starting lineup that are hitting below 400. That's really good for non-softball baseball people. Those two girls that were hitting below 400 are hitting above 350. Their entire team batting average hovers at the 400 mark. They've hit 80 home runs as of this recording in 32 or 33 games. They do not miss mistake pitches. And when I say mistake pitches, I don't even mean like down the middle, just a little bit too much plate. So here's the thing. This is one of the things I love about the programs that are doing well in OU. I've heard them talk about this. I've heard the coaches talk about this. And this is painful for me because I went to Oklahoma State. So this is very painful for me to talk about OU in a positive light. But one of the things that I've heard over and over again is, why doesn't the pressure of winning get to them? And the reason it doesn't get to them is because they don't focus on their competition. They focus on what they do. They focus on who they are. As a matter of fact, that is what has driven the build and turnaround and development of the KU softball program into a top 25 program, is they stopped focusing on the competition and they started focusing on who they were and what they could do and how they were going to play the game. And when you think about it, and going back to my coaching days and playing days, if you focus on your competition, you're not focused on winning. You're focused on something else. You're not focused on your goal. That's what this is. That's the example takeaway for us. When we keep our eyes on the prize, when we keep our eyes forward, and when we keep our eyes on making ourselves better, doing things better in our environment, taking care of our customers, and not worrying about the competition, then we elevate ourselves above that low bottom feeder, bottom dweller kind of independent agency tarnished look. We get above that fray. We get into the classy, you want to do business with us. You get into a whole new level. That just comes down to stop paying attention to the competition.
I had a mentor in the late and very great Mike Blakeney. And I remember when I first started out in the broadcast industry, we were in a media war with an up-and-coming radio station, or they were attacking us. We were doing what we did, but they were attacking us. And I can remember sitting in his office and saying, this is what they're saying this week, or this is what they said this morning, or this is the promos that they're running. And what are we going to do to respond? And he looked at me and he said, and I will never forget this, you never acknowledge that competition exists when you're the best.
That's great. I love it. It's an incredible statement. I have a mentor that said something to me the other day, unrelated to this State Farm thing, unrelated to the story I just told, but it also resonates here. We were talking about growing, and we were talking about not growing for the sake of growing. And what he honed it down to was be a business that has a solution, that has processes in place, and that is attractive. That's a magnet. If you do those things, people will naturally flock to you. They will come to you. They will be attracted to doing business with you. If you have a solution, if you have the processes, and you are a business that is attractive. I look at that from like our agency network. We're not big national advertisers. Outside of this podcast, we don't have a real reach other than word of mouth referrals. And we don't even call this podcast the Integra Partner Network podcast. It's the IE Forward podcast. It's really more than our network. It's beyond our network. It's the channel. And if we turn this around to the consumer-facing side, the same thing exists. You have a solution. You present a solution. You have processes to give the customer a great customer experience, and you become a business that is attractive. People will show up at your doorstep. They will flock to you. They will refer other people to you. You do not have to stoop to the level of taking cheap shots at your competitors, or even for that matter, to Tanya's point, acknowledging that you even have a competitor. That is an incredible place to be. That is rising above the fray. And so I love what you're saying. You were told that statement. What he said is brilliant because it aligns with what one of my mentors has recently told me, is that you don't even have to really do anything extra special, and you certainly don't need to take cheap shots, and you certainly don't need to be the one down in the weeds with everyone else as they jump into the social media buzz.
So it reminds me of something I saw on Mark Angelucci's In page this week, Utica National. His banner on his LinkedIn says, amateurs have a goal, pros have a process. That one kind of stuck with me. That backs up what you just said. If you have a process, if you have a way to do it. And here's the thing. If you're doing the anti-State Farm thing, if you're trying to do this somewhat truthful-ish, I'm going to share this information, hope people don't actually read it, hope if they do read it, they don't understand it thing. If they're true State Farmites, people like my parents that are so brand loyal that it does not matter, it's not going to change their mind. And all you're doing is advertising for them for free.
And that's not necessarily the independent agency's customer. The customer for the independent agency, just to be honest about it, they're not your parents who are just brand loyalists. That's okay. I understand that. I've got people in my own family that are that way. So I understand that take. They're going to be brand loyal. They're going to stick with them. They're going to do whatever. It's okay if there are customers, prospects out there that are brand loyal. That doesn't mean they're your prospects. It's okay to let them stay where they are. There's a huge market that is not brand loyal, that you simply rising above all of that mess and all of these clickbait scenarios and being professional and classy, you will attract your prospects and you will gain lifetime clients through that process.
Because you are your brand. And if you're doing the negative, icky clickbait stuff on social media, then that is your perceived brand. Is that who you want to be? And if it is, then good on you. And if you know that's who you are and that's who you want to be, okay, it's out there. It works. It obviously works. There wouldn't be hundreds of thousands of clickbait sites. That being said, is that clickbait customer really who you want? And are they going to be a full-time customer?
We have agencies in the marketplace, independent agencies that have built themselves around really being attractive price shopping sites, price shopping type agencies. And they've marketed themselves using the price shopping kind of schemes of, we've saved the average person in your neighborhood X numbers of hundreds of dollars or whatever. When you market that way, when you are the one that goes after this State Farm announcement, tries to put information out there to the marketplace that just pushes a price theme or a fearful tactic or something like that, understand that it's the way you lose customers too. You buy customers, you win customers one way. However you go about marketing to win customers can also, in some cases, cause you to lose those same customers. It's the customer. It's not really you. If you're employing those tactics, then yes, I guess it is you. But that customer that's constantly willing to churn and shop and move and rotate their agency professional, understand that's a business that requires the process to be good. It's like non-standard specialty auto versus preferred and standard multi-lines package business. Both businesses can be extremely profitable. I've been on this podcast specifically saying non-standard auto agencies can be very good financially and can be very strong as a business. But I'm also very adamant that they cannot be under the same roof. They cannot be doing it under the same business model. Unless you have a big enough organization that you can departmentalize and you can keep those people separated. If you can do that, more power to you, get after it. But if you're trying to be the solopreneur, the smaller to mid-size, less than 10 employee agency, and you're trying to do all kinds of different business under one process, you're probably running around with your hair on fire most of the time because the process is messing you up, because the customers are doing different things. The customer in the non-standard world, the customer in the re-quote me every 6 to 12 months world, and the customer who wants an advisor are all three different types of customers. They're not the same customers. And when you're trying to build a process that's a one size fits all, it's not going to work. And you're going to feel like you can't ever get ahead, that you can't ever breathe. But if you segment those things and you put those things in the right buckets, or you decide, you know what, we're not going to do that segment. We're only going to do this other segment over here. Now you can get to winning. Now you can get to being a successful independent agency. You can get to growing your independent agency. But you can't do all of those things under the same segment, one big blob of a bucket with one big process.
Or the roof is going to be on fire.
Yeah, the roof is definitely going to be on fire. It's going to be burning.
Don't you like how I tied that one back together? I'm going to leave us today with this quote from Kobe Bryant. The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they want to do.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at iaforward.com.